Welcome to Alternate Reality, episode 403, talking about Aquaman and Into the Spider-Verse.
Aquaman! Aquaman! No one greater than Aquaman!
King of Atlantis, king of the sea, where the danger is, that's where he'll be, always defending.
Alternate Reality is a podcast about comics, comic-related media, and comic-related merchandise. We do reviews of all sorts, TV, video games, movies, and comic issues. So be warned, the following show material contains spoilers. If you have not read your books, seen the movies, played the games, so forth and so on, then you may want to stop the show until you have done so, or you can proceed at your own caution. You have been warned.
Aquaman!
Hello and welcome to Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. My name is John.
I'm Charlie.
And we are back after a very long hiatus. Thank you.
Thanks for that breaking all this.
I'm Charlie.
We're back after a very long hiatus. We had technical issues. The computer that I was trying to record the show on, for those of you that don't know, we posted about this on Facebook and Twitter. But the computer that I was trying to record the show on just was not hacking it. Every time I would try to do editing and things like that, it would just shut down. It would freeze up. It was horrible. And I said, I can't do this anymore. I got to come up with some computer solutions here. You know, something's got to change. So in the 2 months, roughly, since we posted our last episode, I have managed to dig an old husk of a computer out of my dad's trash bin because he runs an office. I have refurbished it, threw a new hard drive into it. Had a buddy of mine who works on computers work on it, get it up to snuff, and it's an older computer. It's running Windows 7 instead of Windows 10, but it's stable. And as long as you're not trying to do 50 things on it, you know, if you're trying to do video editing at the same time you're trying to record, at the same time you're trying to write your great American novel, while at the same time you're trying to play a video game, then, you know, it would obviously have problems. But as long as you're just editing a show or just recording and not choking it down with a bunch of extra stuff, it does really good. And for my money, I liked Windows 7 better than Windows 10 anyway, so I'm happy to be back on that platform. So here we are. The show does continue. We are back. We're ready to catch up and talk about some things that have came out in the last little bit. But we have had some developments in the time that I have been gone. So we have been gone. I said I. First and foremost, I want to talk to you about my health stuff real quick. Because of that, we're only going to get to do an episode or two before we have to take another small break. And so, I apologize about that. And to all our fans, whoever you are, both of you, we thank you for being patient with us. But I do have to have surgery later this month. We thought it was going to be on the 17th. It's more like the 25th. And so, as a result, we're only going to get to do about 2 episodes this Monday and next Monday, and then we'll have them posted by Thursday or Friday, depending on how quickly we can get the editing done of those different weeks. And so we'll get 2 episodes out probably, and then I'll go to surgery, and then I'll be down because they're going to cut on me, and I'll be down for 2 to 3 weeks at least. So then, middle of February maybe, we come back, and hopefully at that point we can be a little more consistent, at least for a while, because I'm still up for transplant, and they have me actually listed on the transplant list at this point. And if at some point they call me and say, we've got a liver, come get your liver, and then we got to run out and fly to Cleveland and get a liver transplant, then at that point the show will go on hiatus again, and that time it could be 3 months, 4 months or something like that before I come back, because that's a long drawn out ordeal. So bear with us. The show, as I said in one of our posts that we did, the show's not going away. But the show is suffering some scheduling problems because of real-world things that are going on around their lives, and that can't be helped. It's just what it is. But the computer issues are solved. So I've got Charlie over here, who is working on the defunct computer that I refuse to work with, And so as long as he's just browsing the internet on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, he does okay on it. I wouldn't want him to have to do anything very complicated on it, or it would probably freeze on him. But we're here. We're ready to talk about some stuff. Now, we thought about talking about all the comic books and stuff that's come out in the last 2 months, and that seemed like a bad idea. First of all, there's been a lot of things that came out, and if you read the book 2 months ago, odds are you won't remember it. So there are some...
A lot of Oz and...
Yeah. So we're sitting here trying to think, well, we'd like to talk about this and this. We had mentioned, you know, Darth Vader had ended. That was a good series. Charlie enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. The last issue was fantastic. We're not really going to get into it because that's not the focus tonight. There's a lot of stuff still going on. The Spider-Geddon storyline wound up and come to completion. Charlie said it run pretty much like he expected it to. It's still entertaining, but nothing surprising.
Well, I said it, what they were trying to do was turn Otto Octavius good.
Right.
And they did that.
So. Yeah. So he's a good guy. Does he now have the moral fortitude not to kill and all that stuff?
No, he's still...
Oh, he's still an anti-hero, so to speak?
Yeah, he still has those urges, but he's...
He's working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goes to confession every week.
Even though the first issue of the Superior Spider-Man ended, like, differently than I thought it would.
Right.
Because Terrax showed up, and I was like...
Terrax?
That's weird.
Yeah, okay. that's peculiar. So, in the time that we were gone... Doomsday Clock number 8, I think, came out.
Yep.
First issue of that book that I read and liked. Although I'll be danged now if I can remember what it was it's in the
probably book. Probably because they all fought at the end.
Maybe it was.
Or they were about to fight.
Maybe. I remember thinking, because everything up to 8 had been so slow and drawn out. And then this issue finally had some real stuff, real meat in it. And I was like, oh, this is kind of starting to maybe get good. So... You know, but again, I can't remember the details of it enough because it was like a month and a half ago that it came out.
But I've not read the first issue.
So Charlie's waiting on that for the trade or
something. Till I just read it.
Yeah, which may or may not happen. Kind of the big thing that's going on right now, as far as me and Charlie's reading, that we're all kind of scratching our head about, it's got us piqued on our interest, is the Heroes in Crisis book. That book is... I don't know what's going on in that book.
I have no clue.
And that's...
I think it. To me, it's like at the end of the 9 issues, are we going to go, well, that was a pretty good series, or, well, that was about 4 issues too long. I think that's what's going to end
up. That could very well be. Well, I mean, we've...
And you know what? I'm not going to be one of those people who would be like, oh, I hate it. It's awful. I'm just like, what's it doing?
Yeah, we have no idea. It's just meandering. Here we've got Batman and Flash standing out in the field arguing about who they should be investigating. Here we've got, you know, Wonder Woman mad at Batman and punching his penny over on his car, just having an argument about nothing. And the next thing we know, like...
Booster and Beetle
are breaking out of jail.
And I'm like, wait a second. Why is Blue Beetle...
Is he alive?
Well, he's alive, but he's not a hero, or he hasn't been.
Well, he had,
and technically, they don't know each other in this universe.
Don't they?
I don't think so.
Well, they seem to be chummy.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what Tully was like. I was like, where'd this come from?
Well, but in the pictures of the case files and stuff in the beginning of the book, there's a picture of Wonder Woman killing Maxwell Lord. So that happened. Well, no, so why isn't...
That's what they're doing with all those books.
Yeah, so why isn't he dead if that actually happened? And when did he come back? I don't know. I thought when...
What I'm saying is, is this Booster going nuts and he thinks that that's Blue Beetle?
Well, if that's the case, that would be... Because
like I said, as far as I know, they don't know each other, and Blue Beetle hasn't been a hero in this universe. He helped... Jaime in his book, and he kind of like was starting.
Did he used to be a hero and he quit and he hung it up?
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
From what I understand, he just held on to the Blue Beetle for a while after.
See, that's the problem with DC, is I have no idea at this point what's in continuity and what's not in continuity.
But that's what I'm saying.
It's just like Barbara doing her Sanctuary interview, holding up her shirt and looking at the wound where she was shot. I'm like, well, is that okay? Is that's in continuity then, I guess, right? It is. That happened, and we They fixed her after the fact?
Well, yeah, supposedly.
Well, see, I know in the beginning of the New 52, the Gail Simone run, to address that a little bit, but I just thought after, I thought after Rebirth, it was like that never happened. So we don't know. And then the book ends up...
But what I'm saying is, it's like, I don't want to sound like those people are just like, I hate this book because I don't know what's going on.
No, I kind of want to like it.
Tom King doesn't know what he's writing. I'm just like, I don't know what's going on.
But see, DC's got a history. And Grant Morrison, God bless his heart, is the one that started all this crap. DC's got a history of writing books that just run around in circles for 6 or 8 or 9 issues. And then suddenly at the end of it, wrap up. Ta-da! You know, Scott Snyder's doing a little bit of that in Justice League. It's all over the place.
Yeah, but he doesn't write like half those issues.
Still,
it's like between him and the other guy.
Still, he's plotting. He's running the show over there. So,
but I kind of like the way he's writing. I just don't know if this book's going anywhere.
Right.
That's why I'm like.
Well, and then the issue ends up with the most unlikely of situations where Harley and Batgirl find each other in some kind of embrace at the end of that book. And I don't know if it's just a calm down, it's going to be okay, you're all right embrace, or if it's something more deeper than that.
I wouldn't know.
And but even either way, what is these two's history together?
I was more confused about Blue Beetle and Booster Gold than I was about Barbara and Harley.
Yeah, and why is Barbara searching for Harley and holding her going, it's all right, you know, like, isn't she responsible for people's deaths? Wouldn't Barbara be very interested in bringing her in? It's not like they know each other or they were on a team. Barbara was never on Suicide Squad or anything like that. I don't know. The point is, we don't know. DC has got a continuity mess. And most days, all you can do is kind of ignore it and go on.
And I'm kind of over Green Lantern now.
What, the Grant Morrison one?
After the second issue.
Yeah, it's that book is way all over
the place. I was like, okay, there's a Green Lantern walking around with a volcano for a head.
Yes.
Okay. I'm out.
This idea that alien Green Lanterns can be weird and strange creatures. Yeah, we get it.
Yeah, I get it. But yeah, but a volcano for a head, really?
Yeah, that's there's no living creature that could. So that's.
I'm paring down a lot of my books.
Yeah. So here's where we are at the state of comic books right now.
I think I'm down to like 1 or 2 issues of Marvel every month now.
I probably got a few more than that. Immortal Hulk is still.
I'm reading Dr. Aphra. And that's about it.
I've been reading some of the Star Wars books. I hope that whatever they do with Vader after the fact is good. I'm reading Immortal Hulk. That book is really good. Although the last issue wasn't great. Every issue up to the last issue has been great. This last issue, not so much.
Read the Defenders crossover?
I read part of it. I need to go back and pick up the rest of it. I read the Hulk's issue of that.
But I was like, how's the Hulk going to be in this new Defenders? When he's
a dramatically different Hulk now than he
cut was. To pieces or whatever he was.
He's a dramatically different Hulk at this point than he was the last time he was on the Defenders.
That's what I'm saying. You can't really have a Defenders with a weirdo Hulk like this.
Yeah, the weirdo supernatural vengeance Hulk. And that's really what it is. Ghost Rider Hulk punishing the wicked and stuff. It's weird. So I don't know. So that's kind of the state of comics right now, is that me and Charlie are kind of scratching our heads going, that's pretty good, I guess. And is it that we're getting older, Charlie, and it's harder to impress us, or that we are stuck in the past and we don't like directions going, these things are going in? I don't know. I have to think at the end of the day, good storytelling is good storytelling. And if you tell good stories, I'm going to like it.
I liked the first issue of Freedom Fighters, but it was a little weird too.
I didn't read that.
Because like... the good guys couldn't say Nazis.
They couldn't?
No. They referred to all those guys as Ratsies.
Really?
But all the bad guys could say Heil Hitler and all this stuff. And I was like,
so is weird. Is it a thing there that couldn't say Nazi? Or they just were being like, that's the kind of slang they would use?
I guess that's the slang they used, but...
because I know that's actually a common slang that was used during World War II. I mean, they would call them that, so that's not highly unusual.
I don't know. I
kind of like that. It's weird if there's some kind of DC mandate going, you cannot use the word Nazi. We might offend the Germans.
But how are the Nazis in it able to say Heil Hitler? I mean,
well,
I was like,
the Germans don't really claim Hitler. He's not one of them. Okay, whatever. So,
yeah, I didn't like the first issue of Shazam at all.
I didn't read that. I got it. I didn't get to read it. The holidays were busy for me. I had a hard time getting any reading done. So I'm behind on some things. I got to get caught up. But yeah, that's I feel like
I didn't like it, mm-hmm. but I wasn't Eric Larson hating on it.
Oh, what did Eric Larson say about it? Larson.
He basically said DC should not have the rights to him.
Why? Does he think he's public domain or something?
No, he said any story that they use him in is just a bad story.
Oh, so he thinks that the character would be better served if it wasn't at DC. Yeah. Okay.
He said it was a lot better at Fawcett. I was like, man, dude, that's like...
That's something.
70 plus years past. Anyway.
That's one of those books that DC bought back in the day just to kill it.
Yeah.
They bought it and just ceased publishing it. They expected it to go away. I don't know why they revived it at some point, but they did.
But I'm looking forward to the movie.
The movie looks all right.
It's big. Come on. And this is what we're going to get into, right? That the fact is that DC's just repurposing storylines to do their movies now.
Sure.
Like with Aquaman.
Oh, well, all right. We'll get into that in just a second. This has been our intro, and we haven't even come back for the regular part of the show. So the state of comic books is not as bad as we may be making it sound. We just find ourselves in a funny place at the end of 2018, beginning of 2019. There is some good things. I read the first issue of Conan that was done at Marvel, Jason Aaron writing. I always liked Jason Aaron. It was a good story. I'll probably try to pick up some more of these, and hopefully they'll still be good.
I heard the first issue was good, but like in about six more issues, he's going to join the Avengers.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That War of the Realms thing they're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's joining.
Oh, my God. Marvel, no. You always do this, Marvel. You always cock it up. Jeez, why?
But that's what I was saying is just like, I don't understand why. I mean, is he going to be in the modern world or?
You know, one of the things I really.
Is it just going to be a crossover and after three or four issues, he'll go back? Oh, you're a reserve.
You know what's weird is this Red Sonja book that just came out, I think is ending and they're rebooting again because Dynamite does that with all their books, right? And
well, I thought they were just all miniseries. Well, except
now, they run for a while until basically a creator has to go or can't stay on or something, and then they'll stop and restart it. But anyway, because it's Sheeta, it's Red Sonja Sheeta with a Sword, Volume 3, 4, 5, 6. So it's not like a miniseries with six or eight issues. Because this one ran like 25 or 30 issues. Anyway, in this latest volume that was written, half of that was about Red Sonja coming to the present day Earth and running around like Route 66 in the back of a convertible and fighting biker gangs and stuff like that. So I'm like, it sounds to me like Marvel's just ripping off the other Robert E. Howard character that came to the present. That would be weird if that's what they're doing.
And they're doing another, like, they're doing with what Dark Horse, well, yeah, who used to own that, Dark Horse?
Well, oh, Dark Horse had the license for Conan for years, yeah.
Yeah, so they're doing Savage Sword of Conan.
Oh, they're re-releasing all those old Marvel books?
No, they're doing a new one.
Oh.
Jerry Duggan's writing it.
Oh, okay.
The guy who was writing Deadpool and then went to Guardians and is doing that Infinity War book.
I'll probably stay on Conan for as long as Jason Aaron's on it, and then I don't know. So the first issue was really good, though.
I heard it was good, but
what I liked we've run on longer with this segment than I wanted to, but we've not been here in a while. We've not been here in a while.
Two episodes.
But what I liked about the first issue of this is that when you open it up, there's a Conan world map, and you see Sumeria, you see the other kingdoms. And I was looking, and I've noticed places on that map that Arnold Schwarzenegger, his version of Conan, went to. It was Zamora. There was different cities. There was in the second movie where he fought the god with the horn in his head, whatever that place's name was, Shadazar. Shadowzar was on the map. And I was like, this is cool. This is an actual fleshed out world with real places. And they reference in these things that I saw in these movies. That is really cool.
Or they were actually in old Conan.
Right. They were in the original. I'm sure they were in the original literature.
But John's like, I had no clue about them at all.
Well, but you think when they make a Conan movie with Schwarzenegger, that they just make up a city name. But no, they've drawn from the, I didn't know that when the Schwarzenegger version of Conan came out, that they drew from the source material for things like place names and city names and character names.
I don't know if they did or not. I'm just speculating.
No, well, there was a lot of names on that map that I recognized from those movies. I'm just saying. All right, so that's the state of comics. Hopefully, as you know, we get to come back and do more shows, we get to talk more regularly about comics. What Charlie and I wanted to do with this episode is we wanted to sit down and just talk about a couple movies that have come out in the last little bit that we have an opportunity to see and fill you in on what we thought about those. So we're going to talk about Aquaman, and we're going to talk about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So let's take a quick break because this has been
everywhere.
Let's take a quick break and get back, and we'll talk about those two movies. So we'll be back in just a moment. Alden and Rowdy, the best comic book podcast anywhere on the internet. Sit tight.
I've been looking for you. Your half-brother, King Orm, is about to declare war upon the surface world. The only way to stop this war is for you to take your rightful place as king.
Trust me, I am no king.
You do your best thinking when you're not thinking at all.
That was the worst pep talk ever.
All in a Reality, the comic book podcast. We want to hear from you. Please send us your thoughts on email or record a message and email it to us. And we will either read or listen to your message and respond to it on the air. We would love to do that. AlternateRealityPodcast@gmail.com. All right, Charlie, let's talk about movies now real quick. Two movies came out in the last little bit. Actually, three, but I've not got a chance to see Bumblebee yet. So we're going to save that for a future installment. I might get a chance to watch that this weekend. I hope I do. But those are the kind of the three movies that came out in the lump here in the last little bit that I really wanted to see.
What? Did you not see Venom?
Well, Venom, I came
out. Did you see the great movie of Venom?
I came out months ago.
Some people have been raving about and saying how awesome it was.
Who's doing that?
Crazy people.
I hadn't heard any of that. So
it's apparently, you can buy it now on digital.
On digital, early release, yes. We did a Venom review, so if you want to know our thoughts on Venom, go back in the feed. It's not very long ago, considering we haven't done a show for two months.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, we did a Venom and another show together, I think. Let me find out. Fill the air, Charlie.
Talk. I know Luke likes Venom. Luke Giaconetti. El Giacone.
El Giacone.
I thought he like screwed up saying JLA. Like that's how he spelled it. I thought he like, that was before we figured.
Oh yeah,
it was Jake and Eddie.
So it was episode 399. We did our regular comic reviews and then tagged Venom on the end of it. Yeah. One episode. So I was thinking we did two movies, but it was comics and Venom. All right, so we got a couple things to talk about. We're not talking about Bumblebee because I ain't got to see it. I'll try to, but in the meantime, let's talk about Aquaman and Into the Spider-Verse. Which one you want to shoot at first?
Probably Aquaman.
All right, Aquaman.
We'll do it alphabetically.
All right, that's good. Aquaman was amazing.
It was good.
Now, don't get me wrong. It's not, Crime and Punishment. It's not an award-winning. It's not Schindler's List, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it was a very, very, very good comic book movie and a fantastic DC movie. Now, DC's had, they struggled. The Snyderverse has not been very popular.
Someone said, not to make it like a big whole drawn out thing, but they were like, yeah, you see, like, Zack Snyder, like, if he'd have done this movie, it'd have been all nasty and dark and disturbing or whatever. Mm. And it's like, oh, it's just still part of the Snyderverse. And I'm like, no, it's not. I mean, it branches from that, but it's not that.
No.
He executive produced it, sure, but
unless you,
like he did with Wonder Woman.
It depends on what you're calling the Snyderverse. If you're calling the Snyderverse the current DCEU, whatever it is, then that's all the movies. That's Wonder Woman and everything. Then that's the whole thing is the Snyderverse. If you're talking about just the movies that Snyder directly made, then this is not part of that.
But that's what I'm saying. It's just,
it's related to it. They even refer to Justice League in the movie. They said, oh yeah, you defeated Steppenwolf, you know, so that already happened and they acknowledge it.
Yeah. And some people were complaining that, oh, this ignored JLA.
No, it didn't. I just said they specifically acknowledge it.
But what I'm saying is they said that the continuity was screwed up because he goes to theoretically where he went in Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thinks that that was Atlantis proper.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, I know.
That was where they were keeping the cube.
Yeah, but a lot of people online think that's.
Well, I mean, but we hadn't seen Atlantis yet, so I could understand why when they watch Justice League, they might think, oh, this must be in Atlantis.
Yeah.
But it's clear now, after watching this movie, that that's not the case. Because they got a big freaking gate that you got to go through to get into Atlantis. And it looks like, you know.
It reminded me of Artificial Intelligence, that movie with, like, the big sprawling city, and you had to go on the bridge.
Right. So, but I thought this movie was great. It's definitely right up there with Wonder Woman as the best two movies in our current DC time, you know, extended universe that we
have. I would say this was better than Wonder Woman.
I thought it was too.
I think the ending holds up, but like,
yes, the ending is much better.
The ending to Wonder Woman, I didn't like.
It fell flat in the third act. It did. I agree with you.
Because they then like, haha, you didn't know the villain all along was Ares.
Yeah. And they had
you thought it was Sergeant Nazi.
And they had a dark
Dr. Poison.
They had a dark CGI battle that was hard to see and hard to really appreciate.
Well, the fact is, like, that was not Ares, like our proper Ares.
No, it wasn't even a good version of Ares. But do you remember?
And even from that, I understand they, like, changed him.
You remember Eric Bana's Hulk movie, right?
Yeah.
All right, you remember how Absorbing Man at the
became end
became the dark
the jellyfish thing. The yeah. jellyfish yeah
and he they were fighting in the sky and it'd be flashes of light and you'd see the Hulk's face in the clouds. I'm like, what a stupid fight scene. And they ended up just falling to the sky and falling on the beach. I was like, this is the worst fight scene in a movie ever. The middle of the movie where he's fighting the army in the desert was pretty good, but this fight scene at the end of the movie was horrible. That's how I felt at the end of Wonder Woman. It was maybe not that bad, certainly not that bad.
Well, I think they wanted to throw in that whole, hey, let's get Chris Pine to be Captain America and do the airplane thing.
Yeah.
Too. I was like, oh, God.
Well, I got to give Pine props. He played that scene well. But it did feel like an also-ran. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. But
which is going to be interesting to see how they bring him back.
It's got to be flashbacks or something. I don't think he's actually in the 80s, is it? It's got to be flashbacks.
I would hope so, but then
if they try to bring him back to life.
But what I'm saying is, wouldn't it be weird if they do? Because how would... Like, that would make that Batman scene from Justice League that... No, Batman versus Superman, a lot weirder.
Right.
Because, oh, what about Steve Trevor?
Mm-hmm. Right. So, this movie has three solid acts that are really strong. They were really good all the way through it.
I like the origin.
The origin was fantastic. You got Nicole Kidman, who shows up at the lighthouse. I'm not going to do a full review, just saying what I liked. Shows up at the lighthouse. You got the de-aged dad. I forget the actor's name. Same guy played Jango Fett in the Star Wars prequels.
Oh, really? That was him?
Yeah.
Had no clue.
Yeah, oh, that was him.
But I thought it was cool. Like, he's Maori.
Or any one of the clone troopers, you know, basically, yeah. Because they all look the same.
I thought it was weird because he's Maori, you know, and it's like, I didn't think that they would say that he was. I know that Jason Momoa is, but I wouldn't.
It's weird. They
kind of changed his dad, and I think of his dad as something different.
Right.
But, I didn't weird mind that it.
If you're Hawaiian ancestry living on Maine, you're taking care of a lighthouse. That's just, you're kind of on the wrong end of the world there, you know. But it was fine. So she shows up, and she's on the run or something. So she's running from her commitment. She didn't want to be the Queen of Atlantis. She didn't want to marry that guy. And they fall in love and they have this baby. And
well, I think the forced marriage came later to, like, they did a whole thing to, like.
Well, she was betrothed. It was expected of her. Yeah, she did. She had to go back and eventually.
Unite the clan.
Right.
Game of Thrones.
Right. So she, but a very touching scene where she ends up having this baby, and then they track her down and they attack. And
which was really cool, because when those guys popped out, I was like, holy crap, these guys look good. They're like in suits of armor. I was like, that's awesome.
It kind of was like white stormtrooper armor.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of like the Justice League animated cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Atlantis like came up to the ocean. They had to wear suits and
stuff. So apparently in this movie, if you're Atlantean, and there are two grades of Atlanteans.
They were bad A fighters.
They're awesome. Regular Atlanteans who can't breathe air. And then the highborn Atlanteans, the upper crust ones, can breathe in water or on the air. And so when they were fighting the bad guys, all they had to do was break their helmets most of the time. And they were, and then that one scene in the middle of the movie in Sicily where the guy ends up sticking his head in the toilet so he could breathe. That was pretty good. I like that. But they track her down. She defends them and defends her baby and her husband or her, you know, boyfriend. I don't know if they were ever actually married.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't remember. But if they had a ceremony or something, I don't think they did.
They didn't show them.
And so she realizes that in order to protect him and the baby, she's got to go back to Atlantis. And so she leaves and he ends up raising, you know, Arthur by himself.
And she tells him, oh, when I come back, I'll be here at sunset or something like that.
So he ends up getting trained by Voku, which is Willem Dafoe.
Volko.
I think that's right.
And which is weird because this is another different portrayal of Volko than we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually he is a traitor to Arthur.
Right.
Instead of in this movie, he's like his protector.
Yeah, he stayed loyal. Yeah, that was cool. I liked Willem Dafoe in this. This is one of the few movies I've seen with Willem Dafoe in it where he wasn't crazy and doing that insane grin that he does.
Well, he did it, but it was in the way that the way that the movie used it, it was a happy grin.
Mm-hmm. But still, Willem Dafoe, when he grins, the only thing I can see is a green goblin.
The flashbacks were kind of cool because like Arthur would be doing something, then all of a sudden it'd be like, it's him as a teenager, and he's being trained by Volko to fight.
And so he's showing him trident moves, and he's doing the twirling it and getting the water to come around it and stuff, showing him how to make a shield with it and stuff. And he would throw the trident at him, and he would catch it like bang with his hands. And so it was pretty cool. He was pretty good, even as a teenager. And then Volko breaks it to him that his mom's dead. Because
he wouldn't tell him for
when am I gonna see mom? Didn't she love me?
Yeah, when he was a little kid, he wouldn't tell him like
you got to train hard so you can see your mom.
Yeah,
he was trying to get him to do it, and then at some point he went, I'm calling BS on this. Where's she at? I'm sorry,
your mother's dead.
They threw her in the trench. So you'll see more about the trench later. So she's supposedly killed. Well, this ticks him off. He decides he hates Atlantis. Doesn't want anything to do with it.
That's why.
And that's how we found him in Justice League, is he was very, you know, he's...
Do whatever he wants.
Yeah, he's rebellious. He drinks too much. He gets into fights.
Which I thought the trailer was, like, a little bit misleading, because, like, when the trailer showed those big guys and they were like, you're that Aqua Boy, right?
You were thinking an epic fight was coming.
They wanted was selfies.
They wanted a picture with him. Can we take a picture? Yeah, man. Get your camera out.
Well, he was resistant at first, because he's like, like that. And they were like hugging up on him. He's like, don't touch me.
Yeah.
But then like they started drinking.
Yeah. And pretty soon they're having a big time. So that was great.
And that's when Orm decides to attack later on that day, because he's driving his dad home from the bar.
So Orm, who's Ocean Master.
Who is the stepbrother
of Arthur, decides to attack, not in the way you would typically think, because when they've done that on Justice League, they lead an army. He decides to have the ocean spew back up all of the trash and the waste and the and the sunken ships and all this stuff and throw it back up on the coastline of all the nations.
Well, he does it with like a big, huge, gigantic wave that lights out like a lot of land and stuff.
We also get a really cool origin in here for Black Manta. Black Manta was one of my favorite characters in the thing. Black Manta, him and his dad are, you know, father, son, Sanford and Son style pirates, who are trying to steal a submarine. They're trying to steal the submarine because Orm has commissioned them. I said I wasn't going to do a full review. Looking at me. Orm has commissioned them to get them a sub so that they can use it to fake an attack on Atlantis so that he can start a war.
Well, you don't have to go through all the details.
I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to get to how he died. And so in the process of trying to take that sub, Arthur saves it because he's trying to save the sailors on board. And in doing so, Black Manta's dad gets killed. You know, torpedo falls on him. He's trapped. Water's flooding in. Black Manta is just got human strength, so he can't lift the torpedo off.
Yeah, so he pleads with Arthur. He's like, please help my father.
And he was like, yeah, y'all shouldn't have been here. Shouldn't have been doing this. Your own fault.
He's like, you've killed people in the past.
Yeah, innocent people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you deserve to die. I'm out.
Well, no, he says, I'm not going to save him.
Right.
You know, basically that whole...
Which was a lesson that Arthur had to learn. Heroes always do the right thing. Yeah. And by the end of the movie, he realizes he made a mistake. Because now he's made an enemy out of Black Manta forever.
Yeah.
And Black Manta won't ever stop until he's dead. And spends the rest of the movie hunting him, and probably will for as long as they make these movies. So, yeah,
because he blames him for...
So the dad ends up pulling a grenade and saying, run, son, get out of here, and blows himself up. And so
and that's why he blames Arthur, because Arthur could have saved
him. He could have lifted the torpedo off of him.
Easily. And then that's why he'll always blame
later. Orm shows up and gives Black Manta one of those white stormtrooper-looking outfits with all the Atlantean technology on him.
Well, he's got like a new like plasma weapon
that shoots these plasma beams.
Yeah,
he takes that, paints it black, and converts that plasma rifle into a giant freaking helmet that he wears on his head. And I got to give DC credit for this, or Warner Brothers, or James Wan. They didn't shy away from the big bubblehead Black Manta mask.
Oh yeah.
Because you would think, okay, to update this and make it a little more modern, they would have gotten away from the big fat head that Black Manta has.
Yeah.
They didn't shy away from it. They went full on Black Manta. I was like, that's great. Be unapologetically loyal to the source material.
But there was, well, that too, and it was like it looked cool.
Right.
Like all painted black and him running around shooting the lasers from his eyes. Right. I was like, that's awesome.
So,
and it was all like water-based because it would turn the water into the heated plasma.
Right. So there's a great battle in Sicily where Black Manta is fighting Arthur. He's hunting him down. Mira's got a tracker on her that she doesn't realize. So it leads him to her. And they run all through the streets. They run on the rooftops. It's a great fight scene. It's fantastic.
Well, it takes place in multiple places without doing what some... Like action movies will do,
mm-hmm.
where they'll like have like the side by side or above and bottom shot of like both scenes happening at the same time. What James Wan did, he went from like one action scene and like while it was going on in the background, he'd like pull the camera up and follow the one that was in the front one.
Right. So you'd see Mira running across these rooftops in the back, but you'd have Arthur in the foreground. And he's doing something, then it would focus in on him.
Yeah.
Then at some point it would pull out and focus back on her.
Yeah.
It was really well done. It really was. James Wan's a great director. I've been watching these Conjuring movies that he directed. They're all good. He's sort of in charge of that Conjuring universe, the Nun movie that just came out.
I'm pretty sure he just did the first one.
I'm pretty sure he did both.
I think he executive produced them.
Well, I know he executive produced this.
Because he directed the first Conjuring. I don't know if he did the second
one. I thought he did the second one. Pretty sure.
But he was...
Regardless, he's got his hands all in.
He directed one of the Fast and Furious ones, or one or two of those, too.
Right. So the guy's got props. He's really good.
And he directed the first Saw movie.
This movie reminds me a little bit of what I liked about Aquaman, a whole lot of what I liked about Thor Ragnarok. And that Thor Ragnarok didn't take itself too seriously. Aquaman doesn't either. Aquaman's not afraid to stop every once in a while and make jokes about itself. while at the same time giving you serious dramatic beats in the movie. Actually, at the end of it, when there's the, and again, these are spoilers. I should have said something at the beginning. At the end of the movie, when Nicole Kidman's reunited with her long lost love,
which I didn't even see that coming.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Like, I was like, yeah, she's dead, she's gone, whatever. And then she just shows up. I was like, well, that's unexpected.
Yeah, so when he comes out and sees her and they re-embrace, I teared up. I'm going to be honest with you. There was a movement in my eye, and it run down my face. I was like, you know what? Give it up for Aquaman. I did not cry at Wonder Woman. Did not. Didn't cry at the Dark Knight. Now, I think Dark Knight's a better movie than this, but I didn't cry. I cried on Aquaman.
Well, the whole crux of the movie is Orm's trying to, like, gain control of the kingdom, right?
Right.
And the way he has to do that is he's got to, like, basically ask every one of the kings to follow him.
Right.
And that's
why if he can do that, if he can get all that support, he can become
Ocean Master. Which I thought that was kind of cool. But, like, he does that with Dolph Lundgren, Mirror's father.
Yeah, this movie's got a thousand.
Which kind of, like... You know, were.
I was shocked. I was shocked because I didn't recognize him. So the credits are rolling.
Just because he's got the red hair.
Got the red hair and the red beard. The credits are rolling at the end, and I was like, Dolph Lundgren. Dolph Lundgren? Where is he at? And then it hit me. Boom, there's dad. I'm like, oh, crap. That was Dolph Lundgren was in this movie. This movie had a ton of supporting cast and cameos and people.
Then Adewale. I can't think of his name, but he was, what was his name in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Who?
The guy who, is it Kratoff or something like that? What is his name?
Which guy?
He's the guy when Star-Lord breaks into
the black guy and he goes, who?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
That was the mermaid guy.
Right. He was CGI'd, so you wouldn't recognize
him. Which was funny because he's like, yes, this is King Orm and blah, blah, blah. And I was expecting him to go, ooh. And, he basically blackmailed him and arrested him and, like, told his daughter, he's like, well, you need to.
I killed him, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you need to join up with us or, you know, I'll just take over your kingdom.
Right.
So then he goes to the crab people, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, the crustacean
king. Yeah. Well, the Brine King is John Rhys-Davies, which I was like, this is why it kind of felt like Lord of the Rings too.
Right.
Because they had a big old huge epic battle there. And I was just like, man, this feels like Lord of the Rings. And why does that crab guy sound so familiar? So when I was watching the credits, I was like, holy crap, it was John Rhys-Davies. Right. That's awesome. Because I didn't know he was going to be in it.
Yeah.
Like, I knew Julie Andrews was going to be in it because they announced that. But I don't think they announced that John Rhys-Davies was going to be in it. Mm-hmm. So, like, when he showed up, I was like, oh, my God, it's John Rhys-Davies. Yeah. But that's where he has his big, huge fight, and that's when Arthur comes in from his adventure because he's been looking for the king's trident.
Right. The trident of Atlan, the original Atlantean king. And it has to go to the center of the earth, but it's basically the savage land.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs and everything like that.
Well, the funny part about that is that's when we see the trench creatures.
Right. Oh my God. That was such a beautiful scene. When they're on that boat above the trench and then things are coming up and attacking them, he takes those flares, stuffs three or four of them down his pants and dives in the water. And he's using those flares, and as he's diving down,
it's
pitch black, except for the light of that flare. And as you see the light of the flare light up, and there's like a thousand of those things, and they're all luminously lit by, I don't know if that's a word, by that red flare light.
Yeah.
And it is gorgeous. And to watch them race for the bottom while these things are swarming to get them was really well done.
Well, that's another thing, too. It's just like, I thought this movie was like, the best movie I've seen in a year or so. Mm-hmm. Like visually it was amazing.
Visually
it was like
stunning.
They go to Atlantis. Atlantis was beautiful. Like when they fully, like when they went into the actual city and everything's like lit up and everything. I was like, oh my God, this thing is awesome.
Do you remember when
the Sicily scene was great?
Was great. You remember when we first saw Asgard in the Marvel movie?
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh, look how beautiful it is, how amazing it looks. This blows that away.
Oh, yeah, totally.
This is fantastic. I like how they started talking about that in the dark, his eyes will adjust. And when his eyes start to adjust to the dark, everything lights up like bioluminescent, yeah. Right?
It's kind of like Avatar when,
yeah,
during the night.
There are a lot of neon-y colors, neon-y green and blue and purple, and it's just gorgeous.
But then where he goes to get the trident, trident's like protected by this,
we'll call it the Kraken,
Leviathan like creature, mm-hmm. And it's actually voiced by Julie Andrews. That's who I was like, oh, so that's where they're going to use her.
Mary Poppins, y'all.
Which was funny because those two movies came out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Aquaman and Mary Poppins Returns. I was like, that's funny. The original Mary Poppins is in this movie. But yeah, it was just like, I was like, that's pretty cool. And then like, he gets the trident because he beats him.
Right. Gets the original Aquaman outfit. Which you think...
Everyone said it kind of looked a little cheesy, but I didn't think it did.
Well, the only thing I didn't like about it was the gloves. I thought the gloves were overdone. They looked like plastic. They looked like hard plastic instead of like...
metal.
Or leather. Like they should be like green leather, like Batman's gauntlets almost. Unless you're talking about Arkham, then Batman's looks like they're metal. But I'm talking about Batman in the comic book. They're like leather, you know. And I thought that his gloves should look more like that as opposed to these hard plastic-looking things with the giant fin on the side. So I wasn't a fan of the gloves, but the rest of the outfit I thought looked great.
And he has his epic final... Well, he fights Orm twice in this movie.
Real quick, because everybody thought that the battle armor that he got in Justice League was the official Aquaman costume.
Yeah,
no, it wasn't. This is the official Aquaman costume. So I like the fact that they found a way to go, you know, that Justice League outfit that Aquaman had on, it's not real good. Let's do one better than that and give him his original version.
Well, once again, they were embracing the outfit they did with the
source material.
Yeah.
This movie, you know, Aquaman himself is a little bit different than we're traditionally used to in the comics.
But normally, his origin's the same.
You know, but they just had to put...
His updated origin is the same. It's Geoff Johns' origin.
Right. So they had to put Jason Momoa into this role. And so they had to make it fit him a little bit. But most of it's the same. He just doesn't have the blonde hair.
Yeah. Basically. Well, someone said it was kind of funny. Like when Orm and him finally conceded to each other. It was like, oh, so it's like the original Aquaman giving his title to the new Aquaman. Because Orm is... a very blonde hair.
Right, right. Person. A whole lot. You're right. I see what you're saying. But now, see, the traditional, 1960s and 70s Aquaman was a short haircut dude. But then you got the Peter David Aquaman.
Yeah.
And the Peter David Aquaman is long-haired, bearded, and shirtless.
Yeah.
So he's very close to what Jason Momoa is, just hair color is the only thing that's different.
I think Kevin Smith even actually said that they heavily referenced Peter David's material.
Right.
He said, he's like, I wouldn't even be surprised in the second movie if he doesn't get his hand
eaten off
and then replaced by a trident. But him and Orm fight twice, right? And the first time is kind of like a comedic thing. You see it in the trailer where the crowd they hit each other and there's a big boom and the whole crowd is like... And then they all start cheering.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of funny because they kind of do it like a fighting game. If you notice it, when they first come up is Orm. It's leader of the seven seas, blah, 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 blah. Ocean
King fighting, of Atlantis.
Ocean fighting master, this master, trident. Level 3 Hakata or whatever. Then it has Arthur's stats and it says drunken runaway or something like that.
Yeah.
It said
mongrel half breed or something.
Yeah, mongrel half breed. It says pros and there's nothing there, and cons it says half breed like that. But they fight, not the Arthur gets away. But in the second one is the epic one where Orm's in his full outfit,
mm-hmm.
which was cool because
somebody said that Ocean Master mask emoted when he had it on. Did it? I didn't notice that.
Well, it did move, because if you noticed, it was like in two pieces. Mm-hmm. And then when he put like the top part of it, the part that covered his eyes, mm-hmm. it actually wrapped to his head. I didn't notice it emoted, but it might have, because it was very much a live armor.
I would like to go back and look at it again.
But there was like so many like quick like flashes and stuff you've met like could have missed in it.
Right. I feel like this would be a movie that if I had the extra time and money, I would go back to the theater. It was just fantastic all the way through. Beautifully shot. James Wan is famously upset that it didn't get any technical nominations for the Oscars. And any.
Like I said, visually, I think is probably better than any movie I've seen.
Well, and you know, I feel like Aquaman's, you know, the thing I jokingly said on Twitter is that Black Panther's going to get all these nominations for all this stuff because Aquaman's got too many white fish people in it. And I think to a certain degree, there may be some play here in the emotion of Academy Arts about trying to award Black Panther for being the first movie heavily featuring black characters. And I don't know if they're intentionally snubbing Aquaman, but I don't think it's just going to get the attention because I think they're really anxious.
Well, from what I understand, Black Panther's not really nominated for anything.
It's nominated for all those technical visual things. And you can't tell me that technically and visually.
I mean, theoretically, unless it's like one of those heavy, heartfelt movies, mm-hmm. like Vice or something like that. Usually no movies in December get nominated.
Well, and that's except for those movies. That's what somebody said. Somebody said that the movie hadn't been out long enough to be considered. But if that's the case, it's not going to get considered next year because it came out in this year.
Yeah.
So it just falls in a bad spot where it's not going to get noticed at all.
Yeah.
And that would be sad if that's the case. I think, though, when you go back and I have... A lot of people give me a lot of crap about the fact that I didn't like Black Panther. It's not that I didn't like Black Panther. I just didn't think it was the greatest thing that's ever been put down on cinema. You know, I just feel like it's a very good comic book movie, the likes of which we've seen. Things like Iron Man, Captain America, Superman, the originals, you know, not four or three so much, but the first two Christopher Reeve movies. This falls definitely in line with those epic superhero movies, and Black Panther was a very, very good movie and was a good achievement. I don't think it's any better than Aquaman. In fact, I think Aquaman is a superior movie to it. It's just my opinion. But I feel like the awards people are going to be anxious to dote on it and give it a lot of awards because of the minority aspect of it. And it kind of bothers me when it doesn't bother me. I'm scared death to say it like this because I'm afraid somebody's going to go, "You're a big racist." I'm not. It bothers me that when somebody else gets overlooked because somebody else has already been kind of handpicked ahead of time. That's just my opinion. I just want everybody to get a fair shake. Everybody. So, anyway, Aquaman was fantastic. It definitely wins my award for comic book movie of the year. I think it's better than Avengers Endgame or Infinity War, excuse me.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say that because, like, I even, like, watched it again, like, a couple days ago.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. You're going to watch it there.
Because, well, it was hidden on Netflix for a couple of days if you didn't notice it.
Right.
Because they weren't promoting it or whatever.
I got an email about it, but I don't know how long it had been on there before that.
But it was supposed to be out, like, on December 25th.
Okay.
And a lot of people couldn't find it because they didn't put it in their new movie selection.
Right.
You had to actually go search for it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't under Avengers. You had to type in Infinity before it would even.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, they really tried to hide it. And I said, this is probably going to become an issue with new Marvel stuff mm-hmm. or Disney stuff over the next couple months.
Yeah, because Netflix and them are not getting along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Solo is supposed to be out before Ant-Man, but those two movies are supposed to be coming out this month and next month.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I bet you'll be hard pressed to find it when they're supposedly released because they won't promote it or anything.
Right. All right. Excellent. So can we wrap that up? That was a great movie. We enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Anything else to say about it? There's a post-credit sequence.
Well, I'll say this. I think that one cast member was duly mis
Miscast?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Merc.
Which one's Merc?
The commander of the... He was like the main guy under Orm.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So who'd they cast? They casted the Asian kid from Power Rangers.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you know Merc in the comic books, he's a big, huge, beefy dude with like a scar on his face, where just this guy only had like one blind eye.
Yeah.
He was running around
He's not a character that I'm intimately familiar with, so.
But I think he was way miscast.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what was up with that scientist guy.
Oh, well, that's
who we saw at the end, because I had like no clue what he was.
That's something to do with the John's run, because he was big on tracking down Aquaman and finding him and exposing the Atlantis. The idea of it was that nobody kind of believes it's there. And so he was like, yeah, I have found all the research. It was in the John's run. And it was even in that JLA movie that came out, the animated DC direct-to-video movie, Throne of Atlantis or whatever. He was in that. So, yeah.
I must not have.
So you get that post-credit sequence that's Black Manta coming into that guy and asking him to help him rebuild this technology because his suit's all busted up and stuff.
Well, that's how he gets the scratches on his face, too,
right.
Black Manta. Because normally in the reissued continuity, Arthur had like scratched his face.
Right.
That's how he got that.
So there you go. All right. That brings us to an end of that. Let's shift directly into what I think is probably a quicker review. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So I got a chance to see this past weekend. All of the buzz around this movie is that it's the best animated movie. I mean, it didn't win the Golden Globe for the best animated movie.
Yes.
Yeah. So everybody is loving on it. Everybody that I'm seeing on Twitter and Facebook's going, oh man, Spider-Verse is awesome. There's so many Easter eggs. They're so good. All the characterization's great. The action's great. It's wonderful. I went and watched this and I came out going, okay. I mean, that was all right. I'm glad it went. I had fun. But this was better than the Spider-Man movies? I don't think so, you know.
I would say it's better than at least five of the Spider-Man movies.
Well, okay, you can have your picks, all right? I know that some of them are not your favorites. Charlie is particularly critical of several of the Spider-Man movies.
I would say Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2, and Spider-Man Far Homecoming.
Are the only good ones?
Are the only good ones. The rest of them were terrible.
1 and 2 is good, I agree. I agree 3 was horrible. I don't hate the Andrew Garfield movies as much as you do, although there are parts of them that are kind of bad. I think the first one was the more solid of the two. The second one with the Shocker was the weak part of that movie. Okay. Well, was it the Shocker or Electro?
He was Electro. Electro.
Yeah. I think Electro was the weak part of that movie. I think Jamie Foxx, that was just completely wrong. Whoever come up with that just needs drug out in the street and shot. But the relationship between Peter and Gwen in that movie was really good, and she dies at the end, and I enjoyed it.
Oh, you mean Peter and Mary Jane?
It was supposed to be Gwen. You and I both know it was supposed
you,
to be Gwen.
You mean Mary Jane?
Okay.
And the fact that Peter was technically stupid. Oh, I can re-engineer this to where it'll open a door, but I'm going to buy all my products from Osborne.
Yeah.
That's not going to bite me in the ass.
So, again, Charlie didn't enjoy those movies as well as I did.
They were terrible.
I thought they were all right.
Horrible. Like, well, I don't know. It's like Kevin Smith said that, like, he didn't like the Tobey Maguire ones because they weren't like Spider-Man, but like his Spider-Man, but like the Amazing Spider-Man was because he was technically funny as Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like he said, like, it's like I've always said, like where Michael Keaton and George Clooney,
mm-hmm.
not Michael Keaton, but Val Kilmer and George Clooney,
right.
Like where Val Kilmer was a great Batman, where George Clooney was a good
right.
Bruce Wayne.
Good Bruce Wayne, right.
He said that like Tobey Maguire was a good
Peter Parker,
whereas Tom Holland was a better Spider-Man.
Yeah, I can see that. That makes sense.
But I was just like, you can't do that, though.
They got to be both. They got to be Chris Reeves. You can both do both of them.
They got to be Tom Holland. You know, he's good at both. But no, it's just like, I don't know. It's just those movies.
Well, anyway, but like I said, all the press and all the coverage and all the love was about how good this Into the Spider-Verse was. So I went and watched it. I didn't think it was all that. It was okay. I had fun. Glad I went. I don't regret my purchase price of my ticket, but it was all that. So the gist of it is, and again, this Spider-Verse thing is the Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man story thread that they won't let die. Okay. This is, I have seen it a dozen times in different versions of Spider-Man in the comics, in the games. You know, and now in the major motion pictures. I mean, it just, there's a lot of it. You know, we just did Spider-Geddon.
Yeah.
All right. That's the second installment of that. We've already had one installment of that previously.
Which theoretically, there'll probably be a third one.
Probably.
Because you know how these things are all in threes.
we've touched on this in the games. All right. We had the Edge of Spider. What was it? Spider-Man.
Web of Shadows and Shattered Dimensions.
Right, so they start talking on all the different Spider-Man and Spider-Verse characters. We've even had, what was it? Marvel had their own version of kind of like Sliders, where the heroes were bumping around in universes, and they have been a dozen different Spider-Man universes that have been touched on. We've had Spider-Girl, remember it was Mayday Parker. We've had all these.
But theoretically, that was never in continuity.
Well, it is now because she was.
Well, yeah, now it's now, but
right. So the idea is that, you know, Marvel's always historically said they didn't really have a multiverse. Of course they do, and they've acknowledged that they have.
Well, let's see. They've done Spider-Verse. They've done Venom-Verse. They've had a universe where they had like different Wolverines. So yeah.
I mean, they've had the Marvel Zombie universe. You know, it's just crazy. In fact, I would say that the Marvel multiverse is bigger.
Oh yeah, it is.
Definitely. Than the DC universe ever was.
Yeah,
the DC multiverse. So again, this is a kind of a story beat that I'm kind of done with. Multiple versions of Peter Parker, Spider-Man interacting and helping one another. I would much rather just see Spider-Man fighting Doc Ock or Spider-Man fighting Scorpion or Kingpin or whoever it is.
Well, to me, I don't think that's what made this movie. Good for me.
Well, okay, and that's fine. And none of the versions of Spider-Man that we got in this movie were our current Peter Parker 616 Spider-Man.
Yeah, he was.
Which one? The one that died?
No.
The one that was older?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Spider-Man.
He even comes from the 616 universe.
Does he? Is that our 616 Spider-Man?
Just an older version of him.
Well, okay, that's what made
Which me is why I didn't like him.
Yeah.
Because... What did they do to him once again?
What, they ruined his marriage?
Yeah, they made him a complete loser.
Right.
Again.
Right.
Which is really my sticking point. It's like, let Peter grow.
Right.
I mean, as smart as he is, like, in the 616 universe, let him have something.
Right.
Like, don't make him, like, live in a right. roommate's apartment building for like the rest of his life.
Well, Peter Parker in our 616 current continuity is somewhere between 25 and 30 years old. I would say probably closer to 30.
Well, I think 22 to 27. I'd say.
Really?
Yeah.
He's been through.
I know.
A long time.
I know.
Okay.
Cause that's when he slowed down. Cause remember he got his, powers when he was like 15 or 16.
15 or 16, right.
So he would have been freshman.
So he had his high school years.
Yeah.
He wasn't really seeing anybody seriously. He was working at the Bugle, taking pictures.
Well, he
had a couple
girlfriends. He dated a lot.
Well, he had a couple girlfriends and stuff.
Betty Brant.
Like yeah, right.
Three or four women before him and
but
Gwen started getting serious.
Yeah, but... I don't.
In years before.
You had the college years, and I see the college years as kind of like the John Romita senior years. The years where him and Mary Jane met. I think they met when he was in college. I don't think he met while they were in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you've had that. And then I think he graduated from college. And then at that point, Spider-Man's history kind of is a blur because he never really went on and did anything.
He has, and they just keep
rebooting it.
Yeah, taking him back.
Yeah. And so if he graduated college at, say, 22, I'm assuming he got a four-year degree, although they keep talking about him going and getting a master's and a doctorate and stuff like that. That would have taken him till 28 if he did any of that. But let's say he graduated college at 22 to 24 in that range. And then that would have only given him past college about 6 or 7, about, you know, 4 or 5 years of Spider-Man history after college, which is what's been the last 30 years of publishing history.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, that's a lot of spots. That's what makes me think he's older. That's what makes me think he's 26, 27, 28, pushing 30. That's how I envision Peter Parker at this point in his life. I envision Superman and Batman somewhere between 30 and 35. The younger versions of them, like in the New 52, are closer to 30. The versions we had prior to Flashpoint was like 35. That's how I see Superman and Batman. I see Spider-Man as like 26, 27, 28 right now. This Spider-Man is older than that. This Spider-Man in this movie that's supposed to be our 616 Spider-Man, according to you, is like 36.
I think he's like 38 or 40.
And you know, so he's
getting... Well, yeah, I think he was the same age as the Ultimate Spider-Man, the one who died was, and he was 36.
What, the blonde-haired Peter Parker? No, he was older than him because he was 26. He said, "Hi, I'm Peter Parker. I got my powers when I was 16, and for the last 10 years, I've been Spider-Man."
Then he's younger, yeah.
Yeah, so he was 26 when Kingpin killed him.
Well, then Spider-Man's got to be 36, 38.
So. Right, right. So he... Like I said, he that's why I didn't think it was our 616 Spider-Man. It's another Spider-Man that's very close, but he's a little older. And so I said, well, our Spider-Man must not be in this. So
our Ultimate Spider-Man is Benjamin Peter Parker.
Yeah, Peter B. Parker.
Well, the thing is like, I don't know if you noticed it. Did you know who did the voice of Benjamin Peter Parker, the Ultimate Spider-Man?
No.
It was Chris Pine.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Which I thought was funny. I was like, isn't that funny how, like, they got a DC actor to play Spider-Man?
Marvel role? Yeah, that's fine. So basically, this story wasn't about Peter Parker, although Peter Parker's heavily featured. This story is basically about Miles Morales. And so that's fine if you want to do that. But Miles Morales has been put through a lot of hoops within the comic book. You know, he started out as Ultimate Spider-Man. The Spider-Man, who's much younger than
they that ended Spider-Man. That. Universe.
Right. They ended that universe, but the original Peter in that universe died. Miles steps up to take his place, and then that universe basically gets destroyed, and he gets shunted over to this universe, and he lives here now. So this is not that. This is basically him in his own universe. Peter still dies, different circumstances.
Yeah.
And Miles basically is picking up where he left off, but Miles needs training. So you create an event where the Kingpin's trying to get his family back, which seemed weak. That's another problem I had with this movie, is that when I think of super colliders and think about scientific gear and things like that, I don't think about Kingpin. I think about Doc Ock. I think about sci-fi villains. Kingpin's like, you know, crime and the mob and money and things like that. It did.
Well, this was more of a 90s animated Kingpin.
I do recall in that cartoon
because he was very high techy crime.
Right, lord. He was, and he employed Smythe and a bunch of other people who worked for him and things like that. Yeah, okay. I'll grant you that.
Even though it's based on Sienkiewicz artwork, which is crazy.
Yeah, did you see that Kingpin's like this hulking mound of a figure? He's just drawn like a hill.
Well, that's the thing. I said the most unbelievable part about this thing is no one says anything about how freaking huge Kingpin is.
I mean, he's like the size
of a square.
Yeah, he's
double, literally a square like an with a round
foot,
head.
He's an 8-foot double-decker refrigerator with a head on it.
He's huge.
And apparently is super powerful that can just, and of course, Kingpin's strong. We know that. But he's just slammed Spider-Man in the chest and just kills him.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not easy to do. Spider-Man's pretty tough. So.
Well, this movie, like, I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. But I said, this movie is the case where you're like, where are the Avengers at?
Right. Do they not exist in these
universes? Like, seriously, it's like, Kingpin's going to destroy the universe with this machine that's trying to open up a a dimension because his wife and child died after realizing what a monster he was. And the Avengers aren't around at all. I know there's Peter.
Right. And it's not like we haven't seen any signs that something's going on. This thing, when it opens up, starts turning buildings into trees and things like that. It starts glitching and making weird shapes out of things in town.
But I was like, okay, if this is just the universe where Spider-Man
works alone,
exists, and he's the only one, I guess I can go with it. But if this was the proper 616 universe, I'd be like, get the Avengers in here.
Yeah, where's Iron Man? He shut this thing down right now.
I mean, seriously, it's like, really? Come on, this is huge. Like, I mean, seriously, he makes a machine that could destroy the world.
Not only the world, but all multiverses.
Well, I'm just saying, you know.
Sure.
But that's what I'm saying. It's just like, where are the Avengers at?
Yeah, nowhere. They're busy off world.
This is way too big for just Spider-Man alone. But like I said, if it's just his offset universe where Spider-Man,
I didn't enjoy the animation style. I didn't find it particularly great.
Well, I liked it because it was all comic,
well,
art.
But there was a lot of flashy neon strobe effects in it. And it actually kind of hurt my head a little bit. I walked out of the theater kind of with a headache. It was weird. It wasn't pleasant to look at on screen, I didn't think.
Because it was all comic dot.
Like, right. I noticed that. I noticed that.
Which I thought was cool.
All right. So at the end of the day, the only thing there really was for me to like in this movie is Miles' personal story. And that's where it's the strongest.
Oh, okay? Yeah. Definitely.
Because, you know, Miles, his dad's a cop. And he loves his dad, but his dad always gives him a hard time, and he has a hard time pleasing his dad, or at least he feels like he does, or identifying with him. So he much more identifies with his uncle, who's kind of a reprobate kind of guy. He kind of chills and hangs out, does what, you know, you figure he's a black man in New York City. He may be, you know, maybe he's into something, maybe he ain't, maybe he's just cool. You know, we don't really know.
Well, I think it's more like Miles, like, felt more connected to his uncle.
Miles just sees him as a cool guy. And I remember growing up, I had some uncles. And I remember thinking, my uncles are cool. Parents are not cool. Uncle's cool.
Yeah.
And so
that's basically, he would let him do whatever
he wanted to. Yeah, he would take him out and let him spray paint his graffiti and stuff. And his dad was always giving him a hard time about that. So he thought his uncle was cool. And then to later find out in the movie that your uncle is the Prowler. And not only is he the Prowler, but when he finds out that you're a hero, doesn't do the wrong thing, does the right thing, and tries not to kill you, and gets killed in the process, that was really kind of heart-wrenching.
Well, it was bad, too, because you know who played him, too? It's Marshall Ali, Cottonmouth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
From Luke Cage.
So I was like, oh, my God. They got him to play this part? Like, it's a small part, but... Yeah. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that was a really gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching moment in the movie, and it was really, really tight. Visually speaking, I thought that Spider-Gwen looked the best of all the characters. I really liked it. I mean, they popped her straight out of the comic books. They didn't make any alterations to her. She looked...
Well, they did give her that weird haircut, but that was...
Well, but inside the costume with the hood up, you can't tell.
but now she's Ghost Spider. Where she was Spider-Woman in that.
Yeah, it's weird. She's Spider-Gwen. Okay, that's who she is. But the point is that Spider-Gwen, I believe, is a character that was created because they came up with a cool concept for a costume. And so they said, you know, J. Scott Campbell or somebody, I don't know who, drew this concept art, said, this is a cool costume.
It was Robbie Rodriguez.
Whoever it was. And said, this is a cool looking costume. And they said, oh yeah, sweet. Let's make that into a character. And then she just took off. And people started cosplaying as her and everything. And
who, like contends that he's like one of the greatest comic book artists in the
really
world. Yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever.
Yeah. He got into real big trouble about that. Like a couple of years ago when he said that,
but, yeah. And don't ever underestimate cosplayers' ability to affect the market, because cosplayers, once something latches on and becomes popular on that circuit and they start cosplaying the crap out of that, that character's popularity will go through the roof.
Well, see, I remember like 2 years ago, remember when they first showed the trailer for the Marvel Spider-Man game.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they first showed the trailer.
Right. And you saw that white spider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the first con I went to after that, which I think was like maybe 2 months after that, they were already selling like those skin suits
mm-hmm.
of that design spider costume. And even like in that like trailer
mm-hmm.
and all the printed material was like, may not be actual
artwork
in game.
Yeah.
You know,
may not be finalized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was just like, that's weird that people are already cosplaying as this guy.
Right. And again, once the cosplayers take hold of that, it really takes off. Spider-Gwen is another example of that. The latest phenomenon is this Bowsette thing, which Nintendo
female
had.
Female Bowser.
Yeah, which the gender-bent female Bowser from Mario Brothers, which Nintendo had to come out and officially say is not a canon character.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's how big a deal it was because of how popular that the cosplayers had made this character. You know, sexy Bowser, and Nintendo has to go, yeah, that's not a real character. You know, okay, thank you, Nintendo, for clarifying that. Nobody needed you on that, but, you know, we appreciate you letting us know.
The story of that's really stupid, too.
I don't know a whole lot of the history of it.
It's basically Bowser becomes jealous of Princess Peach
mm-hmm.
and changes.
Was this some kind of fan fiction or something?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Basically changes his appearance to
compete with her?
Yeah.
For what? For Mario's affection?
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh, okay. That's weird.
But yeah, that's basically the storyline of it. I think it's dumb.
Well,
I mean, I've seen a lot of cosplayers of it. I'm not going to really like, yeah, that's terrible.
I follow a lot of cosplay message boards and Twitter feeds and things like that. And I see a lot of them on there. Like I said, I haven't ever seen any at a show because I've not been to a show in several years. But there's a lot of it happening.
Yeah.
About. And some of these girls look really cute in that outfit. I'm just saying. But some of them look really cute in anything.
But theoretically, it's just a Princess Peach with horns,
right, and spikes.
Yeah,
yeah. So and a turtle shell on her back and a little tail sticking out. This is adorable. It really it is. But so I think that Spider-Gwen as a character caught on partially because of the cosplay circuit and characters really were attracted to the costume and how she's visually appealing. And so now she's got her own book and she's made an appearance in this movie. You got old fat Spider-Man, apparently according to you, our 616 Spider-Man. He's in it. And he's let himself go. He's gained a bunch of weight. Not a bunch, but, you know, he's got a little bit of a gut on him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They made him lose her again.
Right. As is always the case.
Which is weird because, like, they basically say, like, him and Mary Jane were almost married.
Right. Oh, they were married.
Yeah, they were married.
And then she wanted to have kids.
Well, I think she was pregnant. I think they lost it.
I don't think so. I think he wanted to have kids and he wouldn't commit to it. It's the way I remember it, but one or the other doesn't matter. One or the other happened.
Then their divorce, their marriage failed.
Right.
And he's back living in an apartment by himself.
Right.
He's
eating pizza and he's vegging out and watching TV. Yeah. He's not even out patrolling the city or anything. And so he needs a good swift kick in the pants to remind him why he's a hero, which is what he gets out of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And he gets to train Miles and teach him the ropes and things like that.
Well, the one thing I liked is like when they introduced all of them, when they really introduced all of them,
mm-hmm.
they started with like, here's the story.
Yeah. They all give their origin.
And they all get a comic book origin like that.
Nicolas Cage plays Spider-Man Noir.
he was the most off-kilter character because apparently he even saw things in black and white.
Yeah. And so he's
looking at give him a Rubik's Cube.
And he goes, is that yellow? No, that's yellow. No. And when he goes back home, he's like, I'm taking this with me.
He goes, I will solve this.
But,
and it's funny too, because like, if like, I don't know, like if you paid attention to like the after, like during the credits sequence, mm-hmm. like it actually like shows like a newspaper page or something like that, where he's like, Spider-Man solves magic mystery cube or yeah. something like that.
So you got that
Spider-Ham.
Got Spider-Ham. That to me, maybe is the best part of the movie, and they underutilized him in the movie. He's really only in 4 or 5 scenes.
Yeah.
Really. And
well, he's in all the other scenes. I mean, all the other characters.
He's kind of in the background, though. He doesn't have a lot of lines, and he doesn't do much. He's just sort of around. He does have a couple, good joke lines where they're all stuck to the ceiling in the bedroom, and that kid looks up and he goes, "Is this the universe where animals can talk? Because I want to freak this kid out."
Ah! The kid just faints.
So that was good. And you got Spider. That girl,
Spider.
Yeah, who comes from Penny the future, Parker. And she's got that spider that lives in a robot costume, robot thing, and she can get in there too, and so it's kind of like a Power Rangers kind of thing a little bit.
Yeah,
what I was a little
they introduced her in the original Spider-Verse.
Really?
Yeah, Gerard Way wrote it.
So I felt like there was a lot of potential here to introduce a bunch of more spider characters, and they just didn't take it. We only got 4 or 5. And I mean, man, they could have brought in our PS4, Spider-Man.
Well, theoretically,
saw the suit. The suit was there
because Chris Pine has a spider cave.
Yes,
with spider buggy.
Yeah, he's got. I saw that. That was a nice
Easter. And then all the suits he has in, which I said is an Easter egg to the Spider-Man game, are all the extra suits that are in the Spider-Man
game,
PS4 game,
right? That you can earn.
That's the only connection to the movie,
right?
This movie and the game, because they're not the same, because the storylines don't play out the same.
So,
because Miles is not Spider-Man,
right?
In that universe,
right?
And Aunt May is still alive in that universe.
Right. Which was hard for our Peter because his Aunt May's passed away. When he met her, that was difficult for him.
You get to see the gender bent, well, the female Doc Ock in this movie.
Liv.
Yeah. Which is funny because, Miles goes into class and she's on, the movie they're watching in chemistry class.
Mm-hmm.
But they obscure her last name because he's standing in front of it, just says Olivia something.
Right.
And then when Peter Benjamin Parker, our 616 universe guy, comes in and she's studying him. She's because she knows what's going on with the whole universe opening up thing.
Right.
And she theorizes that when Spider-Man had hit the ray, that it opened up his universe. That's why they didn't get Kingpin's family.
Right.
She figures all that out. And then I was like, She's experimenting on Peter, and she's like, "Oh, this is interesting." And she puts him in the chair and straps him down. And he goes, "What'd you say your name is?" And she goes, "Olivia Octavius," like that. And she's got these weird, air controlled.
Yeah, they're not robotic arms. They're like gel.
Well, they're like air hoses, like living air hoses.
I thought they were full of some kind of liquid or plasma.
No. I think they're air hoses.
Yeah, maybe.
Because that's what it looked like.
It same basic effect as the regular.
It's funny because he goes, "Do anyone ever call you Doc Ock like that?"
So I thought there was a missed opportunity there to bring in a bunch of extra spider characters that we didn't get to see. But I'm sure they're going to do another one.
Well, the Penny Parker one, the spider character, it looks way different in the comic book.
Right.
They went more kid anime with her.
Right.
Where in the Marvel universe, it's more a thinner robotic one.
Okay.
And they're gonna do a sequel. They've already announced Silk's gonna be in it.
Right.
Other girl spider characters.
So long story short,
there were two characters in it I thought that were highly underused. Scorpion.
Right.
Because he's just in that one scene.
He's kind of like a Mexican, kind of like a Lucha Libre or something.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's half Scorpion, a robotic Scorpion, which I was just who does this guy remind me of? Women. Propping you up one time, cutting the legs off you the next.
Right.
He looked like the bad guy from Wild Wild West.
Right.
And Tombstone.
Oh, yeah. He was in the background, but did he ever say a word?
He had one line. He's like, you want me to shoot like this person or whatever? And you know the sad part about it? You know who played him?
Who?
The guy playing Killer Whale in Black Lightning, James Crondon.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I was like, one line in one the whole line. Movie.
Yeah. So long story short, they get ready to go fight Kingpin to shut this machine down. They tell Miles he can't come because he's not in control of his powers yet. He's just a liability. He's going to get in the way, but they'll take care of it.
Yeah, because his powers are, as far as they know, more reactionary.
Right. And so he's got the basic spider powers, but he's also got the spider sting, and he's got the cloak thing that he can do.
Yeah,
but he can't control invisible. It. And he can't control it.
See, I told you he could turn invisible.
And so they said, you know, you're not ready. You need some more time in the field, and you just need to let me handle it. Even if it means that our 616 Spider-Man can't go home, he has to stay behind, shut the machine down, and then that means he's going to die.
Yeah, because when like they all like went from their universe to our universe, their cells couldn't handle it.
Right, so their cells are exploding.
Which, you know what's weird? Even if Kingpin did like get his family back.
Yeah, they would die.
They would die like within a week or two, which right. I was just like... Would he just go through and keep...
He'd probably just go get some other ones. Yeah.
That would have been weird.
So...
But yeah. So they tie him up. He's like, yeah, but you can let me go, right? You understand my powers. Miles tells Peter that. Right. He's like, I'm the one who said you're not going.
Right. So they leave him webbed up. His dad comes to see him while he's webbed up to tell him his uncle's dead. He can't open the door because he's tied up. So his dad just thinks he's not coming to the door.
And his dad, like, well, because when he finds Prowler dead, he thinks
the new Spider-Man did it. Yeah.
Miles did it.
Right. And so he comes to the door and he's trying to tell him this bad news. But since the door won't open, he assumes his son doesn't want to talk to him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really get it all out.
Miles, I know you're in there.
He basically just says he loves him. And when he's ready to talk, he's available. Then he leaves, and then Miles is determined to do something, so he actually is able to summon the spider sting on command, which zaps the webs off of him. And then
he goes
to Aunt May. Aunt May's got the cave of costumes.
Which I thought was great, like Aunt May, because it's Lily Tomlin,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was great, because I was just like, oh, that's kind of funny. But like when they first go up there and like all the bad guys, because... When they're in the house the first time where Prowler gets killed because right. Kingpin shoots him, they're all in the house and the bad guys come in. She's like, I don't want you all fighting in here. And like Olivia comes up there and she's like, May, like that. And she goes, oh, Olivia. I just thought that was hilarious where she goes, she's just like kind of fed up with her.
Yeah.
I was like, apparently these two don't have the same relationship that her and actual Doc Ock
had. Yeah, they know each other somewhere. they've run into each other.
Live.
So he goes down the spider cave and May helps him cobble together a new outfit for himself. He goes to where the collider fight is, and it's just in time too because...
Well, that's kind of a cool scene too because that's another scene where like Spider-Ham's not in it, but mm-hmm. like Peter, Penny, and Ghost... Spider-Gwen's in it.
Right.
Because they're at like a gala event.
Right.
Kingpin's holding like a memorial gala event for Spider-Man.
Right, who died.
Yeah. And Peter meets this universe's Mary Jane.
Right.
And he kind of like wants to flirt with her or whatever, like get back together.
And they're like, dude, it's not your wife. Come on.
Yeah, Spider-Gwen's like, yeah, don't do this. I know it's not her, and you don't want to start this. And he's like, she's like, yeah, could you get us some bread for our table? He's like, I'm sorry for not getting you the bread. I'll give you all the bread you need. Mm-hmm. He goes through this long thing.
And she goes, do you feel better now? He said, a little bit. I'm totally not getting her any bread.
But yeah, like they have the big fight at the Collider.
Right.
And Miles comes in and...
You know, they... basically Miles ends up saving the day and everybody gets to go home.
Well, because he makes everyone leave.
Right.
And like Peter says, he's still going to stay, but Miles like dupes him into making him go home. He's like, man, you got to go home. Like,
right. You got a life to put back together. So he sends him home and then Miles and Miles then basically has a really good fight with Kingpin.
Yeah.
And you think he's not going to make it, but of course he does.
Well, I thought he was almost dead when like Kingpin did almost the exact same
thing. He basically did the same finishing move on him that he
did. But the thing is, Ultimate Spider-Man or Chris Pine Spider-Man, whoever you want to call him, Ben, Benjamin Parker, he had been beaten. Like he was like almost gone.
Right.
And all it took was Kingpin doing that. So like Miles wasn't to that point.
So,
I guess you could say.
So basically, Miles saves the day. Everything kind of goes back to normal. Everybody goes back to their universes. We see a quick scene at the end where, the 616 Spider-Man goes back and reaches out to Mary Jane and wants to talk to her, and she agrees. And so it looks like he's going to get his life back together.
Until the next writer comes in.
Until they need to reset again.
And then Miles becomes Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And that's when you see his comic book origin, which is like, here's the real story. A couple days ago, blah, blah, blah.
I got bit by a spider. And for the last 2 days, I have been the Amazing Spider-Man or whatever. Yeah.
And for the last 20 years,
I've been a cop.
Hey, here's Steve Seagal.
Yeah, man, I get that a lot. He's up, Cat. I'm trying to do a radio. I forgot to do a podcast here.
But no, the movie ends.
Take it easy, Stallone.
Oh, he called me Stallone. Chinese star.
Let me introduce you to Akita Martial Arts. You get out the car. You get on the ground.
Chinese star.
That's a Bob and Tom joke, and I can't believe we just did it on the show. Because, like, most people are probably not even going to get it. It's not even a current Bob and Tom joke. It's, like, from 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, they brought it back.
Oh, did they?
Last year.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Because he had, remember, because he said he wanted to be, like, the go-between between Russia or whatever.
Oh, did he? Yeah, okay, yeah, now that you mention it. Okay.
But anyway, we get the credits, which is one of those really animated scenes where they're like at a party with like 7,000 different Spider-Man. But one of the best parts about during the whole credits sequence, I thought where the credits are rolling is that, have you ever seen those bad family photos?
Yes.
They did those during the credits sequence, like where like all those, all that family's like laying on top of each other. They recreated that with Spider-Man. Like they did like a bunch of those with Spider-Man. I thought that was awesome.
Right. So then we get our post credit scene, and it's a tease for the next installment where you've got Spider-Man.
Well, no, it was more of a joke than it was, but it set up like how they could do a new one.
Oh, I think it's completely going to have that.
but no, like, the one thing they did the Stan Lee, you know, Jack Kirby thing, sure. The thing, and people were like, people got onto me for spoiling that.
Really? Didn't you expect that?
But what I'm saying is has nothing to do with the movie.
It's about the cameo? Or are you talking
about the quote?
Oh, okay.
The quote,
right?
Where it said, where whatever it said about Stan or people got onto me and said I spoiled the movie because of that.
People get bent out of shape.
But yeah,
I was talking to some guy the other day about Red Dead Redemption 2, and I said, well, the only bad part is about halfway through, you have to change characters. They didn't even really talk about what happened to the original characters or why you got to be somebody else. And he was like, well, you spoiled it for me. Now I can't play it. I was like, seriously? No, I'm just going to take it back unopened. I was like, wow. Give it
to me.
Wow. Okay. Geez.
But yeah, I'm sorry, like the post credits sequence like made me smile like big time because they used my favorite Spider-Man.
What, Spider-Man 2099?
Yeah. They introduced Miguel and it was, and he's talking to his computer AI and like she figures out a way he could travel dimensionally.
Right.
And he,
the first,
without destroying his
future,
his cells or whatever.
Right.
he could safely do it without like cell degradation.
Right.
So he goes, well, I'm going to go back to the beginning.
And it's like 1966.
It's Spider-Man the 67 cartoon.
Yeah.
And they recreate the Spider-Man pointing. And he goes, but they're arguing.
He goes, why are you pointing at me? I'm not pointing at you. You're pointing at me. No, you're pointing at me. And there's this cop standing over there. I can't do anything about this. I don't know who started it. And there's Jameson. Spider-Man started it.
And I was talking to someone like too on like one of my Facebook groups, and they were like, oh, were they more likely just played him as a joke? I was like, I don't care, because the joke was hilarious.
It was great. It was maybe it was the best part of the whole thing,
because Miguel like went from being like the 3D animation back to being
really slick, like graphics and everything,
like the
67 animated.
Yeah, the 67. And there's a point at, why are you pointing at me? I'm not pointing at you, blah blah blah.
That part was really good.
You know who who played him?
No.
Oscar Isaac. Bo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not that big a fan of his, but anyway.
Well, I like him as a...
I mean, he's not, I don't have anything against him. I'm just not a huge fan. So that's that. That's our review of Into the Spider-Verse. Again, to me, not nearly the caliber movie Aquaman was, but, you know, for $5 on a Saturday afternoon...
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It was worth the price of admission, and there were some good moments in it, and there were some eye-rolling moments in it, I thought, but, you know, there we go. So that's sort of us catching up on, you know, kind of what's been going on in the world of comics, and a couple big movies have coming out. Again, I said I wanted to do Bumblebee, but I just haven't had a chance to see it yet, so if I get to see it this weekend, we may touch on it next episode. So let's take a quick break, close the show out, and we'll be right back, and we'll finish up. So Alternate Reality, the comic book and movie podcast. We'll be right back.
I can teach you to be Spider-Man.
I love this burger. So delicious. One of the best burgers I've ever had. You have money, right? I'm not very liquid right now.
I think you're going to be a bad teacher.
Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. All right, we're back. We're going to close the show out real quick. So, again, like I said, I thought this was going to be the only episode that we were going to get to do before I went to have surgery. It's not. Looks like we'll be able to squeeze another one in next week. So you get two episodes from Alden Rowley in the month of January before we have
to. Aren't you lucky?
I know that makes everyone's day better. I know it makes my day better. So that's you get an opportunity to listen to more Alden Rowley before we have to take another couple, 3 week break. And so we're glad we got to do that. And hopefully after that break, we'll kind of be back on a more regular basis. Hopefully we'll try to do Bumblebee next week, and maybe just our regular comic show, and it, you know, won't be 4 hours long. We tried not to make this episode 4 hours long, but it's pushing 2 hours, so sorry. All right, but it's not four, so that's good. So we talked about some comics, talking about like a half an hour of comics, and then did two movie reviews. So really, that's pretty good. Can you not be playing stuff? All right. So we want to remind you real quick, all the stuff we give you at the end of the show, all our plugs and stuff, go over to the webpage, arnetcast.podomatic.com is the side of the website where you can go and check out this episode. There's a bunch of other ones over there that you can listen to and follow. And there's a link to the feed where you can subscribe, and you can go and you can find us on iTunes and do that. And so be sure and check the website regularly. If you would, we would appreciate that. Send us the email. I already gave you the email address earlier. I'll reiterate it. Alternate Reality Podcast, all one word, all lowercase, no dots, no hyphens, no periods. AlternateRealityPodcast@gmail.com. You can either write your message, or you can record something, an MP3 or an audio file, and send it to us. We will respond to your messages on the air. We would love to do that. If you want to, and I know that it hasn't been worth your while recently, but if you want to, you can support the Alden Reality Podcast a couple of ways. The easiest way is probably going to our patron site, Patreon. So if you go over to www.patreon.com/alternate reality, then you will see our Patreon page where you can be a subscriber, and you can sign up for one of three contribution levels, whatever suits your budget. You can sign up as a $3 Patreon. You can sign up as a $10 one or $20 one, depending on how well you like what we do here. And if you do that, then we will look for ways to do special things for you. Maybe mention your name on the air. Maybe have special giveaways. Maybe have some kind of contest and do stuff for you. Maybe deliver some kind of special content that's just for our Patreon members. So just, you know, go over to patreon.com and go patreon.com/alternate reality and follow the directions on the page or the video telling you what to do and all that stuff. Or if you wanted to give directly, if you don't want to sign up for a continual monthly subscription, then you can just like email me or direct message me on Twitter or Facebook, and I'll give you some instructions on how you can do that. A one-time gift or something like that if you want to. Cost us a little something to do the show, bandwidth and hosting, which I paid for the entire time we weren't doing any episodes. You know, because it's a monthly fee, and I continued to pay for it so that the show wouldn't go away. It would still be there for you. So help us to keep the lights on here and think about giving back to the show. And we would appreciate that. It makes you kind of part of the family if you'll do that. Go over to iTunes. You can find us on iTunes and subscribe to the show if iTunes is your way of listening to podcasts. If not, you can take our RSS feed and paste it into whatever podcatching service you use, whether it's Spotify or Google Play Store or wherever it's at. I don't know. There's 1,001 ways to listen to podcasts. But you can get our RSS feed link on the website. Or if you use iTunes, go over to iTunes and search for Alternate Reality. You can find us there. We would love if you would write us an iTunes review. Say only wonderful things about us so that we can grow the show. And give us a rating, 5 stars or better. Well, 5 stars only, because there is no...
Is there better?
No. 5 stars? 5 stars only, please. It's because we want to, like I said, increase our view, our visibility, and make us more popular. So that'll, you know, glowing reviews and 5-star ratings will help do that. We would appreciate that. You can always find us on the social networking, Twitter/JohnLoveless for me, Twitter.com/XOnslaught for Charlie, and Twitter.com/AR_podcast for the show itself. And we're all three, me and Charlie and the show on Facebook. If you search for us over there, John Loveless, Charlie Huffman, or Alternate Reality Podcast, you should be able to find us. We're pretty public and easy to find, and you can follow us, befriend us, and catch up with us over there. Alternate Reality is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. You can catch the network over at Comics with an S, Podcast with an S, double plural, comicspodcasts.com. And check out our show on the network, as well as a bunch of other really cool shows that belong to the Comics Podcast Network. Anything to add to that, Charlie?
No.
Well, it has been a pleasure being back with you guys this week. We hope that 2019 is off to a good start for you, and you haven't already broken your diet that you just started, and that you made maybe some resolutions to be a better you in the coming year, and we hope that you're successful in your efforts to do that. Or if you decide to continue being a lazy slob, that's fine too, long as you're listening to Alternate Reality while you're doing it. So that's it for this time, and until next time, and in the meantime, my name is John.
And I'm Charlie.
And we are out. You guys have a good night. Hey man, there goes a Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man. Friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, welcome fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big bang, wherever there's a hang, you'll find a Spider-Man. Hang on. Okay, episode 403, talking about Aquaman and Into the Spider-Verse. Whenever you're ready, Charlie, cold open.
Welcome to Alternate Reality, episode 403.
Been a while.
No.
A little rusty.
Not rusty.
All right.
Everything's working in order. Thank you very much.
Now, before you actually go at it again, give me a pause with a little moment of silence and then hit it.
Oh, aren't we supposed to do the 15 seconds?
No, that's all right. I think we weren't talking a whole lot for the first little bit and it was recording, so I think Kelly can get his silent.
Welcome to Alternate Reality, episode 400.
403.
No, I know what it is. It's like I think I want to say something before that, but I don't.
No, not really. It sounds fine.
Welcome to Alternate Reality, episode 400.
403.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I'm thinking about I'm going to screw it up, and I don't want to screw it up. Welcome to Alternate Reality, episode...
I'll tell you what.
Am I not going to say the 400 right? What is it? I said it twice before.
Yeah, Let me try. This is not an official take. Let's just run through it. This is how you would say it. Welcome to Alternate Reality.
Episode 403.
Our review of...
Talking about...
Whatever you want to put that, that's fine.
That's probably a good way to do it. Do you have...
Is it the 403 that's messing you up or the words following that?
Following it.
Okay, so...
Or there's like a word that pops in my head after I say the 403. And like, I want to say each for some reason.
Each?
I don't know why.
I don't know.
Do you have that issue of Black Mirror, the Batman? I don't know if you were reading it at the time. With the Joker cover, the jock cover, where it's the bats making the Joker face.
Oh, yeah, somewhere, I think.
That comic book is worth about $300.
Why?
I guess it's just because it's a Joker cover. And if it's graded like a 9.8 or whatever, yeah, it could like almost be $1,000. Kevin was telling me that today.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know the cover. Like, all the bats are making his mouth or something. Or
well, I think it's his hair.
Maybe it is his hair. Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin was telling me that today. He's like, you don't have that one, do you? I was like, I think I got rid of it to half price a long time ago.
I think I've got mine somewhere in a box in a storage facility. But I'd have to really do some digging and sifting to hunt it up. That's cool. If I see it, I'll know.
Well, of course you'll know.
The question is it in a bag and a board? That I don't know.
If it's in good condition, that I don't know. Yeah,
I can't promise anything on that. All right, cold open.